Welcome to the Cricket 8 podcast. We have Rob Barron and Michelle St. Patrick Hewitt. I don't know who to ask this first, but I'm going to go with you, Rob.
Hi.
How on earth did Mumbai lose that game?
Nobody took responsibility.
Oh.
That's why.
You sound like, you've never sounded more like a mum than you did today.
So, Tilak, after he sent Tim David back twice, should have taken responsibility. He got the six, he got carried away, he did something silly, and out he went. Hardik, is Hardik a number seven? I love Hardik as a number four. Is Hardik a number seven? He had to come in and do it, and he got his first ball away as well. And then that seemed a pitch where boundaries could happen, but if the bowler found the right length, it wasn't quite easy enough for that to be a straightforward chase. And to be fair to the market kind of, it never waved the white flag. It never said, this is done.
Mm.
Fair play to Gujarat. Mumbai, with Hardik in the side and the impact of the impact sub that we've seen today, they've got to tinker a bit to get this right. And it used to be that Mumbai were the chasing masters, and today it was a bit of a mess. But to answer your question very quickly, nobody took responsibility.
Gujarat, if there's holes in their side, we can certainly discuss those for many hours. Their death bowling, or their end of innings bowling, is not as bad because you have this combination of Rashid Khan and Mohit Sharma together. That was a bit of a squeeze. Sai Kishore did well, but he did well kind of early on. But it was that squeeze in that sort of 13 to 17 over mark that really kept them in a game that they shouldn't have been in.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when Mumbai bowled, we spoke about how Jasprit Bumrah is a cheat code. And whilst I'd hesitate to say Rashid Khan is a cheat code as well, certainly it felt that the combination of Sharma and Khan together choked out the Mumbai Indians innings. But I think more impressive for me was then how Spencer Johnson came back, because a lot was riding on that back end over. He'd been, he'd gone for 17, I think, in his first over in the IPL, and there's all this hype about him and so on and so forth. He got essentially what looked like a headmaster's talking to from Ashish Nehra for essentially the whole of, I think it was Sharma's over.
Yeah, the 18th over, yeah. He just got yelled at for 10 minutes, didn't he?
And that takes a lot. I think that takes a lot of mental strength to hear that in the kind of heat of battle and then still come out, get taken for a six, and then still execute. So I think you look at the Gujarat bowling as a whole, you're like, actually, maybe they've got the semblance of a good attack there. Obviously, there we have to still see how Spencer Johnson goes later in the tournament, but we haven't mentioned Yadav. Yadav bowled more impressively than I thought he was capable of doing so, but I don't know if that's because the pressure had got to Mumbai by that stage.
You mentioned Jasprit Bumrah before. Just take me through his spell, what you thought. You said cheat code?
I mean, he's over to, who was it up top? Remind me. Saha.
Okay.
Yeah, where he could barely get a bat on ball. Mm. And you were just watching each, like, you know, like you hear that phrase in cricket where it's like, the bowler worked the batter over. That actually was the definition of, you don't know what to do here, and I'm teasing you, and now I'm going to bowl you. I'm going to, like, bowl out your stumps completely. I think Bumrah's that type of player where when he finally calls time in his career, people who didn't really appreciate what he was about will be like, why didn't I like ring the superlatives at the time? And I think that was just another kind of spell for the ages where you saw why he's so spoken so highly. Is he the best to ever do it?
Good question. I'm not going to start answering that right now. But Gujarat, they've squeaked one away.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't bat particularly well.
They love winning close games, though, don't they? That has been the cornerstone of their success since they've been a franchise, is the amount of times somebody does something. Today, Spencer Johnson did it. Somebody steps up and goes, right, I'll do it. We've seen Tuatia do crazy stuff. We've seen Rashid Khan pull things out of nowhere. We've seen lots of Khan being very good. So they're a franchise where everybody seems to want to take the responsibility and go, right. And I agree totally with Mash that for Spencer Johnson to come back the way he did. Now, spreadsheets can tell you lots of things and stats, and we love Spencer Johnson. We've seen him. You don't know how big somebody's balls are until you see them with 80,000 people on Ashish Nehra in your ear hole for half an hour.
It's not very often 80,000 people measure your balls.
Exactly. And he measured up very well, didn't he? The batting, is interesting. Gil got his 31 that he was in for, but they're set up so that Gil goes deep and everybody else smacks it. Today, other people had to step up and play the anchor and nudge around, but somehow they got enough. We didn't think it was enough at halftime, but they're a franchise that is good at winning cricket matches, and that is an underrated skill for franchise cricket. They seem to win a lot of games that go down to the wire.
The Hardik Pandya revenge match.
Yeah, very much so.
Rajasthan, they got enough. Sanju Samson never really iced the game when he was batting. And, maybe he had in the back of his mind that we have the better bowling here and this wicket is maybe slightly more tricky than we gave it credit for. But it was an odd innings by Sanju Samson. There was at no stage did we think he was putting his foot down the way that he could have. But they still ended up with enough runs because of that knock.
Yeah, and to be fair, Jared, you called it. You said when they got to 190, was it? Not 193, I think they got to. You said the Rajasthan Royals bowling attack is too good for Lucknow to chase it. But I feel like with Samson, I feel like we've seen that type of innings a lot where I guess what I'd say is he, sounds ridiculous, is he a good T20, or is he, I think Rob used this phrase, is he a tier one T20 batter? And
he's probably A tier rather than S tier, isn't he?
Yeah. But what did he get? 70 odd off 40 something.
Yeah, there was nothing wrong with the innings on paper.
On paper, that's a good innings, right? Yeah. Or if you didn't watch the innings, but it never naturally flowed. But then maybe you say, well, that's a hallmark of a good T20 player, that they get to 70 odd or 40 something and it didn't look that good. Maybe that's the type of player he is.
What about KL Rahul?
Does he score quickly enough? Today, it was strange. His innings had three parts. And the first part was the bit where there was carnage around him all the time and wickets were falling and he had to anchor. And that's, you can't berate a man for being 25 off 25 when they're three down. He has to behave himself. And so he did the right thing there. And then Berger came back and he switched. He was like, right, I'm going up. And he went from second gear to fifth gear in three balls and he went 4-6-4. Then he tried to up it again and he looked like a spent force, whether that's tiredness of wicketkeeping when he's one of, in my view, he's the third best wicketkeeper they've got, whether it's that, whether it's the fact that he was injured for half the season last season, isn't quite fit, or whether he looked tired today, KL, and he almost slogged out. He got, he lost his shape completely. We mentioned that during the game. He lost his shape. He slogged out. Does he score fast enough in T20s? Probably not.
Well, he didn't today. No. I don't think you make any argument there.
No.
Nicholas Puran, you wanted to know if we had him in the S tier level. I think today is the proof that he's not quite there. If that's Heinrich Klaassen or Andre Russell or David Miller, they probably get that chase over the line from the position that Puran was in. But we know he can touch that level. Were you happy with his innings? Frustrated with his innings? Is his agent going to contact you either way?
I do you know what? And I'm sure people say I'm being biased. I actually thought it was a good innings given the context of what he walked into. But I take your point on board. Once Lucknow got to a stage where they actually could have won the game, the wheels seemed to fall apart. Now, was that Nicholas's fault? Not necessarily.
Well, he wasn't out.
Well, he wasn't out. So it's not necessarily. And Rob spent most of the match saying you can't win until you've got Nicholas Puran out. And I get that.
He was wrong.
No, thanks again, Mas.
No, but I get it up.
I
get the argument because to all intents and purposes, Puran was the only player within that Lucknow side that could have done pyrotechnics and won the match. It feels harsh to say he didn't do enough. But then the argument that I'd flip around with regards to Puran is, and I know he addressed it live at the time, did he come in later than he should have come in? Now, granted, there was a crisis situation.
In terms of wickets, not in terms of the game situation. He almost opened. Sorry,
in terms of wickets, if Puran is the gun player he's supposed to be, and Puran to me is not somebody you bring in the middle order. He's somebody you bring in first drop, right? Now, you could argue that in the IPL, Puran's not necessarily needed in that scenario. But if he is the gun player that everyone thinks he is, I expect to see him come earlier than he did today.
Trent Bolt, it kind of set up that victory, didn't he? That double strike and that was it.
Yeah, what he does is he bowls unbelievably well in the first over. Today, he got a lucky pole in the first over. He bowled a bad ball. His wicket ball was a bad ball, but his other balls were very good. And his second over was superb. Mm. When he came back, he got taken apart a little bit. for his fourth, but he is a great weapon to have. Somebody who regularly strikes early. You want to set games up. And Trent Bolt-Bolt in the first over is statistically, he's the best man you can have to do that job.
Rob Barron, thank you very much for all your stuff. Are you up or down after this first five games?
Good start. Some of the anti-posts or the tournament long-terms aren't looking great. Deshpande, thanks very much. And I really thought that Kurtsey was injured and we might see some Thashara, so that's disappointing.
Yeah.
However, anyone that followed us during the game so far, the first five, will have done well because we picked out quite a lot of winners. We based them on stats and we called them early. We gave people time. So the bets that I managed to sneak away while I was chatting nonsense to you two have gone very well for the first few days, and on may that continue.
And Mash, obviously you don't bet, so you're always ahead. But thank you very much for coming on again. Remember, Michelle St. Patrick Hewitt, you can find him on the Caribbean Cricket Podcast with his better-looking, more talented co-host, Santoki. Rob Barron, you can find him in train stations and occasionally, just hanging around in the streets. I'm Jared Kimber. If you Google my name, you'll find lots of things. This has been the Cricket 8 podcast. The normal podcast will be back, of course, this week as well. So you'll be able to hear Nikesh Raghani and Megha Sinha talk about the IPL and from their take. But that's all from a huge weekend on Cricket 8. Thanks for joining in. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to our Facebook page. Do all those things that we love you to do. And we will see you again very soon for live watch-alongs and for all the content on cricket8.com.